Should we just read the psalm before we begin? Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. I'll just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, as we come under it this lunchtime, we pray that you'd help us to put away the things of the day and open our minds to what you have to say. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly and faithfully, and pray that you'd have something to say to each of us today. Amen. I'd like to ask you this lunchtime, what motivates you to do what you do? Where is your purpose? Where do you put your trust? Here in the heart of Canary Wharf, it's impossible to ignore the great buildings that dominate the skyline. Triumphs of human ingenuity in the architecture, the engineering, the sheer endeavour of these structures of steel and glass. Great effort here is put into making our environment secure, and many will work long hours. But the sad reality is that those buildings won't last forever. A few hundred years and they'll be gone. Even with the best security isn't foolproof. And what are we left with after 40 years of toil? These are the issues addressed by this psalm. The Psalms form part of the wisdom literature in the Bible. They give us an insight into the world, a different perspective, if you like, a God's eye view. If you look at the title, you'll see it's a song of ascents. These are a number of psalms that were sung by pilgrims as they climbed up through the city of Jerusalem to the temple. And these psalms focus on God who's called on in distress, on God who provides for his people, on God who is at the centre of the world. And that's the theme of our psalm today. A psalm that reminds us that every endeavour, every building, every business, our work, our security, our family, are all meaningless unless God is at work. That's not to say they're not important. They are. And we see that in the psalm. But unless God is at work, unless God is at the heart of them, they're in vain. The idea flows throughout. God is at the heart of every aspect of our lives. But it's put first negatively in verses 1 and 2. Without God, our efforts are fruitless. And then positively in verses 3 to 5. Our families are God's enduring blessing. And we're going to look at the psalm under those two headings. If you have a look on the sheet, if you'd like to follow there. Or take notes. The first two verses strike to our securities and the labours in which we place value. And they leave us in no doubt. Without God, our efforts are fruitless. They're worthless, empty, vain. The psalmist knows our hearts, and he works through the major areas of our lives. The building of the house, the security of the city, the daily labour. Verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain, the house. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain, security. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep, labour, work. Studying the psalm, I've been struck by just how contemporary it is. 3,000 years later, and our worries are mainly the same. We might not, as a rule, build our own houses anymore. But you only need to look at the headlines to see the value society places on property. Or switch on the daytime TV to see how many shows focus on the home. We're bombarded by the need for security. Far too evident here in the wharf. And whilst we might not till the fields anymore, workers are often up before dawn and out long after dusk. This is the culture of our age, and it's a culture that's far too easy to buy into. And we bought a house recently. Looking back, I wonder how many hours have gone into trying to get it right. I rely on the police and the security services to keep me safe. I'm far too familiar with rising early and staying late. And the psalmist doesn't say these are bad things. It doesn't say that they're inherently worthless or wrong. But without God, they are. It's immensely practical. So let's look at each of these areas in turn. First, the house. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labour in vain. In the original context, the house would have been central to survival, a shelter, a place of stability, a place where the family had their long-term future. And we could extend that further, the house, the car, the pension pot. Unless the Lord builds, it's for nothing. So if we are blessed with a house or a car, we should thank God for it. Not be hoodwinked into thinking it's just by our own effort or skill. Those might be the means, but the Lord is the builder. And we should thank him for his provision. If we're struggling, if we're worried about paying the mortgage or the rent, we should commit that to God. Not rely on our own strength, but pray for God's provision. God always provides what's best for us, although sometimes it's hard to see that at the time. I found this psalm immensely refreshing, because it highlights where my trust is. It asks the question, are you trusting God, or in your own cleverness or labour? Are you trusting God, or in a pile of bricks, a lump of metal, or an index of shares? Because it's all too easy to transfer our trust from God to the building or the pension or the car or myself, and not the gracious, generous Lord who's provided them. And if we remember who's provided them, it will help us have the right priorities and to use the things we are given for God, not just for our own luxury and comfort. Now, everyone will work that out differently. There's no one way of doing things. But it might mean, if you're moving house, looking to move near a church that needs support, or using your house for hospitality. The verse moves on to security. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. In the ancient world, watchmen were the first line of defence. And the same is very much true today. It's all about intelligence, isn't it? But the psalm shows the lie. Watchmen aren't enough. What really matters is whether God is at work. Jericho looked impregnable, but with God on Israel's side, it fell. Gideon was hopelessly outnumbered, but with God on his side, he won. On the other side of the coin, under Solomon, Israel was a superpower. But as they turned from God, they grew weaker and weaker. No matter how great the effort, how big the army, how clever the technology, unless the Lord is at work, our attempts at security are in vain. I don't know about you, but right now this strikes a chord. Time after time we see human defences fail. The best efforts of the best equipped armies laid low. Unless the Lord watches, the watchman stays awake in vain. Our trust, our security, as an individual, as a community, as a nation, should be in the Lord. That's not to say we shouldn't man the walls, but we shouldn't have that air of self-reliance. We should be turning to God. Throughout the history of Israel, when they turned to the Lord, he defended them. When they turned from him, he brought judgment. So if we're feeling insecure or worried, the psalm tells us to look to God, to place our trust in him. I wonder whether our insecurity as a nation is because as a nation we're trusting in other things. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Then work. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. This cuts to the heart, doesn't it? A God's eye view of work that meets the city head on. You work from the crack of dawn until the sun is long set. Why? Don't get me wrong, the Bible tells us that work is a good thing. John did an excellent series on this a few months ago, and it's clear in the passage today. But why are you working? What are you trusting in? It's easy to kid yourself. I'm working for God. If I put in a few more hours, I'll get that promotion, that pay rise. I'll be able to give more. I'll be a better witness. I'll be a Christian boss. But among all those good motives, a hint of self-reliance can creep in. I can do it. That desire to win the applause of your boss or colleagues, hasn't Marcus done well? That danger that we put our security in a good job or trust in our own wits and skills rather than God. And the psalm turns us around. All the hours, all the labour, all the blood, sweat and tears is for nothing on its own. Verse 2 piles on the irony. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Our successes at work are down to God. So in our work, we must look to God, work for God, be guided by what he tells us about work, be mindful of the danger of idolising that job or working for the wrong motives, and let all our work, every hour, be for the Lord. So in every sphere of our lives, our house, our security, our work, let God be at the centre. Work for him and under him, for his glory. And pray for his guidance. For without God, our efforts are fruitless. In the last three verses, this central idea that God is at the heart of everything continues. And the psalmist addresses the family. We see families are God's enduring blessing. The pace picks up. Let me just read it. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb. A reward, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. In the Old Testament, the concept of family is strong. And the New Testament picks this up. Specific instructions are given to parents. Paul writes to households. Peter's first sermon at Pentecost speaks of the blessing of the gospel for the hearers and their children. And together, Christians are a new spiritual family in the local and worldwide church. Now, I'm conscious that in a gathering this size, this application to family and children won't directly apply to everyone. And it might be painful for some. But we'll all know people with children, so we're going to spend a few minutes looking at what this has to say. The psalm turns 21st century thinking on its head. We're told family is a God's blessing. Verse 3, they're a heritage, a reward. Verse 4, blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. I wonder whether this is how we think of families. This verse has challenged me as I think of my wife Georgina, our children Ben and Laurie. How often do I think of them as my heritage? Yes, they're a joy and delight, sometimes. We're not jumping on daddy or fighting over the latest toy or spending 2 hours screaming on a car journey. And I know that our trials of sleepless nights pale into insignificance with the worries that some people have as their children get older. Often I think of my responsibility to them, a serious one. To nurture them in spiritual foods, to care for them. But how often do I think of them as a reward? A blessing from God. How often do I value them as that? And when I worry about bringing them up, am I trusting myself or God? This psalm attacks the thinking of our age. So in the first half, we're reminded God is at the centre of all we do. And we're reminded that our families are God's enduring blessing. So a word to parents. Do you see your family as God's blessing and heritage? Do you value them as such? Do you thank God for them and trust him? Do you see them as your heritage and bring them up in all godliness and training? And a word to those who aren't parents. Do you support the families in your church? Do you pray for them? Do you help them out? And something for us all. Do we give our spiritual family the right priority? Do we set aside time to meet with our spiritual brothers and sisters? Not just in the Sunday meeting, but before or after or midweek, face to face, or maybe a phone call. The psalmist shows us that God is at the heart of everything. That without God, all our acts and our works are in vain. And that means it's important that we get to know him and to depend on him, reading his revelation to us in the Bible, depending on him in prayer. The ultimate fulfillment of this psalm is in Jesus, in the new creation that God has prepared for us, and in the relationship that Christians have with Jesus today. The Bible tells us that if we trust ourselves and turn our backs on our Creator, we stand condemned and face judgment. But Jesus came to heal sinners. And if we turn to and put our trust in him, we can look forward to the most fantastic future. See, God is building a new temple, a new building, his people, the Big C Church in Christ. We experience a foretaste of that now and look forward to an eternity in glory. Christians can be confident that God works in all things for the good of his people. And look forward to the new creation which is perfectly secure, where nothing detestable or false or wicked can enter. And Jesus tells us that God, who cares for the sparrow, loves his children more and will provide for them. And at the centre of the new creation will stand the tree of life. And the gathered family of God will give thanks and praise to he who sustains all things. But perhaps you wouldn't call yourself a Christian this lunchtime. Well, listen to what the psalmist has to say. Consider what you're trusting in. How secure is it? How does it compare to the Almighty God who created the world? Where's your confidence? Does it flow with the vagaries of the stock market, up one day, down the next? Or is it in the solid rock that is God? Where's your purpose? Jesus gives Christians a cast iron promise of an eternal home, free from all evil, where we can rest. And that might sound just too good to be true, but I hope that you'd agree that it's worth looking into. Perhaps on one of the Christianity Explored courses, or just talking to Christian friends. God is at the centre of everything, so let's pray to him now. Heavenly Father, we know that unless you are at work, all our works are in vain. We ask that we would trust you and turn to you, and pray that you would bring your fruit to all that we do for your glory. Amen.